Okay, good evening. We're going to be doing Mitzvah Ayin Chet, Mitzvah Tiyach Ayin Rabin. The Mitzvah to go after the Rabin. Lintot Achei Rabin. So the Mechaber said in the Chinuch, Mitzvah Ayin Chet, to mean to go after the majority. Who? Kishiyito Machorket Ben Chachomim. When there's a dispute between the Chachomim, the Din, Medini Terekul. Let's say there's a question regarding the Halach. Certain law in the Torah. And there's a dispute among the rabbis. Kmo kain bidin prati. A specific case. Kloma. Bidin. Something that's not a specific explanation of a law on the Torah. It's not something like, you know, how to interpret what's called chalev, what's not called chalev. That could be one case. Another case would be the din that should be moving the Shimra Beruch Moshe. When there's a dispute between two people, two parties. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven said Shimon owes me money. Shimon said he doesn't owe me money, or whatever the case was. There's a dispute among the judges of their city. Some of the judges say that the guy is obligated. Some say he's exempt. So who do you follow? So the midst of the Torah windows, you go after, now we're turning the page. Now, I knew Mitzvah Chena. Mitzvah Harod Va'olam. Who would go after the majority? Shinema, Macharam Lahatos. So it's a majority of the fear, Omlet, the Chon Lavochas, the Rubo, the Araisa. We find this concept in the Gemara Chumen, the Yeralas, the Meralas. It says, Rove. Going after Rove is Minatora. And that's based on our Pasuk of Macharam Lahatos. You go after the majority.
Does it have anything to do with the Gemara Chumen? When you find something and you want to know if it's a trade or if it's kosher, so you could go according to the butcher that's closest to it.
But did you
don't have
The rule part of the idea is the part of rule.
Right.
The custody goes to the majority, the custody goes to the court. And the question is, what do you do when they're both going against each other? But that's the idea of rule. And then the Mechaber continues. So, the Chiyah's rule is there, Lefi HaShomer, this idea of going again after the rule would seem to be who the Shishmei Akito Hachalukos Yodot Kuchokmut HaTor B'Shoka. That's when both groups that have a dispute know the wisdom of the Torah equally. That means the people of the court that are dividing have different opinions, and the Torah said to go after the majority, is when the people that have the are equal in Chokhmah. So here he's not only discussing, because we'll see, he's not only going to talk about Sahedrin. He's talking in general, not that they're not a Sahedrin. This is a Chachamim. Now we're talking about the wise people, the Rabbanim. But they're not a part of a Sahedrin. And the Rabbanim have a dispute. The rabbis have a dispute. They're not part of the faith at the time when there's no Sanhedrin running, that's working. Then you also get this concept, and you have a dispute, let's say you have a Bezdin, it's not a Sanhedrin, or you have Rabbanim. So if they're both equal, so people are equal in wisdom. Shein Loma, you can't say, Shekat Chachomim Mu'at Mu'atet, but we are Kat Zulim Meruba. I feel like you're in the shrine. You can't say if you have a small group of Chachamim, of white people, you can't tell me, you know what, they cannot supersede a large group of foolish people. Even if you have millions of people that go one way, and you have a small minority of rabbis say differently, but the people that are saying against the rabbis are not rabbis themselves, and that now is where you just don't go after numbers. When you have, when they're in the same league, when you're in the same league, then you can go after the majority. But if they're equal in wisdom, so the Korov, so they're very interesting with the Korov, but it's always hard to say that everyone is people. Someone knows maybe a little bit more, but some areas possibly, but if they're close to being equal, they're in the same league, they're all Pashik or Rabbanim, right? So then, for the Asanu HaTorah, The Torah tells us that Ribri Hadeir, yes, Gimu Laolon and Emes Yosim Lenil. The idea is, what's the idea of majority rules? Because when you have a majority, the majority will generally come out to the truth. But the more people that see it the same way, well, probably they see it the right way. Except why is it that so many people see it this way and the minority see it the other way? Well, probably the odds are that the people, the majority, are the ones are in the right.
A mathematical point.
Yes, they're in the right. Because if most of them see it that way, most likely that's the right thing. The game. She has schemul emet, or lo yas schemul lefidat hashemaya. Whether you agree with the person who hears what they say, whether he agrees with them or they don't agree with them, we have to follow the majority. Whether we understand what they said, we agree with the majority or not, you got to go to the majority. Umas any older, that was I say, kibachiras harov lo olam, ubishen shnei hakito tachoko shavat tachos emes. In the chinuch. Umas any older, about 8 lines into the chinuch. You have it? First word of the line is ki bechiras harov ru'olam. Ki. Over there, you see on the right side in the chinuch, ki bechiras harov. Put the finger on the other side.
Ki
bechiras harov ru'olam, who b'shnei akitas hachok ha'shavas v'chokmas emes. That was, I say, that following the majority of when the two groups that argue are equal in wisdom, ki kein nema b'chol mokom chutz min ha'sehem. That applies all over, except when it comes to Sanhedrin. Shebehem lo nidaktik b'yosef kotev. But in Sanhedrin we don't look, b'yosef kat yodas yosef, who knows more? And lo'olo nasek d'ver of man. But in Sanhedrin you gotta go with who, with the majority. Even if the minority is more knowledgeable, let's say the minority in the Sanhedrin are older, more experienced, right? And you would say they're greater. They have many more years of Torah under their belt. But still, when it comes to Sanhedrin, you don't go after Chachma. You don't go after the most wisest of all, right? You could have the most wisest, he says, he's the outfasted. Who's at Sanhedrin? He might be the most greatest phase of time. Doesn't make a difference. He has one vote. He has one vote like everybody else. You don't go after the based on Chachma. You base it on the majority. Latam, why? That's the they were in the number that the Torah spoke about. You go after the majority. Uki was just that Torah says Hakarub Elu Tasu Koniyanaka. Like Torah said, you go after this majority, the majority of the. But the case of the Torah, when Torah says, when there's a dispute and you have a Sanhedrin, you go after the majority. The Torah is telling you the majority of the Sanhedrin you follow. Whatever the makeup of that Sanhedrin particularly was, whether some were greater than others. Anyway, they all were great Chacham anyway. But the first point he was saying is he's saying that when it comes to Sanhedrin, you don't look at who's greater, who's less great. When it comes to Sanhedrin, let's say the Sanhedrin in the 71, said, you know, that Sanhedrin, you know, the big Sanhedrin, that were, it would seem like even the Sanhedrin of 23. It would seem like. He doesn't explain which Sanhedrin he's referring to. But for sure, the Sanhedrin of 71, you would go after the majority whether how people are, and we all know, whenever we have the Sanhedrin,
the great part of the information that was written, they can make a short story, right? So, there was some Tanayim who lived in the time of the Sanhedrin. Well, if someone's in the channel, you would imagine in the channel.
Right? No, it doesn't mean it's true. Also, we have to know you were like a brother, and we're not in Eretz Yisrael.
No, no, I'm talking about before the Chorban. Before the Chorban, when you had a baby, you had a Sanhedrin. The Tenai were automatically in the Sanhedrin?
No, there's only a certain amount of people for the Sanhedrin.
I don't know
what
you're
saying. You know, you
can't if you had, if he was in the time of the Tenai, then he had to be at least on the level of the
Tenai. I have to be in the Sanhedrin, most likely.
Because I have to be in the Sanhedrin.
So probably we have to be in the whole
Sanhedrin.
So probably we have to be in that level. Right, that's what you said, the rule of the Chacham Gedolim. So he explains like this: Mishosi mitzvah, the root of this mitzvah. We're commanded with this. This will strengthen our Torah to remain strong. Sheilu nisavino. If the Torah of God, if Hashem would have come in as time with Torah, Hashem took the hatzik avonas amitasa. So through the Torah, according to the way you could understand it's true, you know what will happen? Every person would say, Yo Matino Sanishamitas in your Torah Kainer. I say this is what I understand is the truth of this particular matter. If I feel it colour, Yomu Bahoso. And even if the whole world would have said the opposite of what he said, he would not have had a right to go against this according to the way he saw it differently. What will happen if we would not have a sin of going against the majority? What will be every man according to what he sees it? And if a man would understand something one way and the whole world would say differently, he would have followed the way he said it. A terrible thing would come out. The Torah would come out to be like many. It would come like many Torahs. Everybody would go ahead and do according to the way they say. And would that be a big problem? Well, how many Torahs we have? We'll have so many different Torahs, so many different opinions, and so many different people doing different things. It'll look like we have so many different Torahs. But now, the Torah said you have to go with the majority. There's one way to make tefillin. With the box, you know, there's one way, how you're going to make the tefillin. There's one way you're going to, you know, regarding other things, other issues that you have, you go after the majority. Okay? So then you know what, there's one Torah. Ruki Yumeinu Gadol, Liki Yumeinu Gadol Da. And through this, that's how we remain strong. The Ein Lanu Lazus Midaitam Viyuma. We can't go away from what the majority says, whatever it might be. When we follow what the rabbi, what the majority tells us, we're doing what Hashem wants. Even if it would come out, that the rabbis did not come up to the proper conclusion, so we're following the rabbis. They did the sin was on them and not on us, because we're following the majority. The bed made a mistake. They made it. And the individuals followed. Let's say most of the community followed them. Followed the stock of the bed, and the bed was wrong. So the hemachira come, and the benson had to bring a korban. If most of the community followed their pshat and they made a wrong pshat, let's say they issued a wrong pshat regarding chalev, certain chalev they said was kosher when it was not kosher, and the majority of the people followed them. People are not, they're responsible. Hemachira, lo yachid klal, not the individual. So Rashi described them with Russia. Except there are different situations that maybe there are differences. But that's the general rule. Dini and mitzvah, okay. So that's the general rule, and then the chinuch, we'll skip a little bit in the chinuch, and then he says, At the end, this applies all places. If you turn the page, Nehiget Tohomako Mukhozman Bishormini Kavis. Every male or female has to follow the majority. We go after the majority. And if a person did not follow the majority, he gets the big punishment. He was mevatel a mitzvah of following the majority.
When you're on that flight to coach, of course, if minority is not married, you could always be not married. You could lean on that not married. But let's say both ways, there's no money, there's no answer. Like, you do one way, it's wrong. It's wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it being my area on the side of the portion. So, how come it doesn't seem like that? Like in Shukanara, a lot of times we go by majority.
So this is going to be a discussion in the Mikrasana. Exactly, how did it work? When do we apply this rule? See, the way the Chinuch explained the case is you have a city, your particular city, there's a dispute, the rabbis of the city, the judges of the city, some say this way, some say this way, so you say go after the majority of the rabbis of the city. Right? Or the rabbis of the city will tell you how to understand Shana the Torah, right? You go after the majority. Then the question is, what's with all the halachas that we find today, right? All the different disputes and how. So we're going to see.
We don't count.
So you should know that the Sfardi way, the Beis Yosef, when he wrote this Beis Yosef commentary on the Torah, he did a lot of the counting. He used a few. He had a few opinions, like he had the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh. You know, these are some of the people that he looked at, Rashi, and some of these people, and he would count. He would generally go after the majority of the bigger rabbis, like that week. The way he discusses, the way we saw this, you know, you have to be in a certain, be equal, or you're similar. So he put a certain amount of rabbis in a certain league. And we surely showed him in a certain league, and he weighed, you know, and he said, if you have, you know, he more counted by what the majority was. That's how generally he did it. But not everyone does it that way. Now the question is, you know, what about other? Why other people don't go that way, that route? Other people don't. You know, you should count up. It should be simple. If you ever have a dispute, let's count all the rabbis, and we'll know how to go. Right? Because the idea, the way the Chinuch says, that you go by the majority, you'll have a basic understanding of what the truth will be. Torah says follow the majority, so let's follow the majority. But we're going to see that this idea of majority is when the rabbis had dialogue with each other. When each person, when they shared their proofs, what they wanted to say, what they wanted to say.
Same time,
same place. They discussed the issue together, and then after hearing everyone's opinion and hearing each person's riot, then they came to a certain conclusion. So then, when you heard the other person's opinion, and yet still the majority heard the minority's view, and they heard all their reasons, and they still don't agree with them, so you could go with the majority. But let's say people, in the places where people do not hear out the other opinions, so even if you're a minority, but, you know, it could be that the other, even the majority would have listened maybe to the minority if they would have heard the minority's reasons. Could have been. So we'll see that
you know, again, another thing that you would want to look at that is Rabbi Yosef Kairo counted specifically shown before he came to an opinion. So even if there were more acronyms in his people, he was an acronym.
Right. I would say from the early acronym, I would say.
So even if there were a whole bunch of acronyms that disagreed with him, he was counting the shown. You can't
maybe you can't count that corona to say that the corona afron is blue. Because this afron blue for counting was shown when he came to this decision. So you're not really going to be justified after maybe you're not really going after Ashray Rabin, because he was going after, he's the one who went after Rabin, he was the one who was counting for Shiner.
Okay. So let's
see. No, it's the question.
Yes. So let's see. We will get a little clearer. We'll do the Mincha Sinner.
Okay.
So the first thing that the Mincha Sinner says, if you look back, you got it on the page Shinch of Zion, little Mincha Sinner on the bottom left corner. Bottom. Mincha the Chinuch room for 70 I don't know. The Chinuch used the statement that going after the majority would, he said, it would seem to be only when they're both a beat, when they're in the same league. Meaning, if they're all in the major leagues, then you could say you could go after the majority. But if some are in the minor leagues and some are in the major leagues, so then he would say you wouldn't go after the majority in that case. Because maybe they're not as learned. Got it? Now he says he needs same work for Shat come upon him the Ozina Bus Aruba may pass it there. The Gemara throughout you'll find this concept you go after the majority from this passage. I am Rambam. Menirish Adamitza Khidish Arab Misrab. It would seem that this idea that they have to be of equal in the same league to go after the majority is the Chinuch's own contribution, his own idea. And the Mincha Sinner says, really, Be'emeth, it's not a new novel idea. Be'emeth, see Gemara, Ruchel Yevomis, and Talon Rav. See Gemara Yevomis, Be'shamai, Hosek, and Devayim. Be'shamai followed their own opinion. That means the members of the Be'shamai group, when they held differently than they still are, how did they act in life? They acted the way they understood. Even though they still was the majority, but in a certain way, they had something over Basilo. And what? They were sharper. Because they were sharper, it's like, in a certain way, like a major league to a minor league. So even if you're the majority, the Basilo, you have the majority, but the fact that the Beishamai people were a lot sharper, so therefore, the rule of going after the majority did not apply. Because if it was in Beishamai itself, and you could say in the people of Beishamai, they were college students. Among the Beishamai, they got to go against the majority in Beishamai. But when Beishamai was united and they're going they had different opinions against Beishamai, so then, even though Beishamai was the majority, the Beishamai people did not follow Beishamai. Why not? But they were sharper. It's like they were smarter in a certain way. So first we say there was a flash cold that came out that woke up like Beisilo, and also the idea we find that Beisilo, the Gemara said they heard Beishamai's reason before them. They listened to Beishamai's reasoning, and even after hearing Beishamai's reasoning, they still didn't. They heard Beishamai before they even presented their own reason. So there were certain reasons. So therefore, we can they merited that the lachal could be like them. So that's what he wants to say. He says the Gemara says in Yevomet Beishamai also to debate after Beisilo of Ruba, even though Beisilo was the majority. That they have Nina Basa Ruba, because when do we go after the majority? He says that he had Dodi Nina, when they're equal. Hava Beishamai, Beishamai, Mechadidi, Zeish. They were sharper. Ayesham, the ink holy. After Bachko, even after the Bachko came out, that says the halacha of like Beisilo, Hainuda, Bachko, the heavenly boy, Hayamachriya, was only saying that the Ruba Shalahem, Machriya, Chidud Shalveshamai, that their majority, the Bachko was saying that you follow the majority over Beishamai's sharpness. But really, Beishamai had a right before the Bachko to go after their sharpness, even though they were the minority. Ayesham, the Totsos, from the Tia. Of the whole Gupti, but all over, Vaday, Tichin, Akisha, Tia, Kata, they have to be similar. Occur. The actual assumption for it. Welcome. Because it can't be occur. It's impossible to say this is exactly the life and smartness of a linear near. We know that the minority are smarter than the majority. Vaday Yoko is the majority. And he's hard to understand why the mitzvah is not the mitzvah tomorrow. So learning about the mitzvah going after the majority.
In what way?
First of all, the majority of the things on this table is the mitzvah. That's the burden of the mitzvah. That's the majority on the table. The majority, we have a court case, a court dispute. The rabbis have a dispute about something that they go after the majority. That's what the Torah says. Majority rules, generally speaking. There are cases that we don't go after the majority. But when it comes to court, here we're talking about when it comes to a court case, we go after the majority. So the rabbis have a dispute. We're not focusing on money matters. Of course, the money matters also. The court makes a decision, and the majority of the court says one way. We go, even if it's on money matters, we would go in that case also after the majority. But there are certain cases that the Gemara talks about, that's not referring to the judges. But the general rule is, when you have judges, you go after the majority. To give out capital punishment, you need a majority that's called a decisive majority, right? Not by one, you need at least two. Two of the judges staying guilty.
Okay, 99.
Let's say 23. You need a minimum of 23 for capital punishment. And you need a minimum of two, you need a majority of two to say that he's guilty. Now, and he also says, if they also said, if they're arguing, the Gemara talks about Beis Shammai. There's a question in the Gemara, did Beis Shammai follow their own opinion, or Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion? Right? It means to say that there was a dispute between the yeshiva of Beis Shammai, the students of Beis Shammai, and yeshiva Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, the house of Hillel, the yeshiva of Hillel was a larger yeshiva. So, the Gemara says there's an opinion that says that Beis Shammai did not follow in practice the rulings that they felt. Meaning, they had a certain opinion, they would voice their opinion, but when it came to practice, they did not follow their own opinion how they felt, according to one opinion of the Gemara. Why not? Because since they were the minority opinion, so even if we hold different than the majority, but we gotta go like the majority. Because the Torah says you go after the majority. So if we're in the minority, we gotta follow the majority. The Torah says go after the majority.
It does.
You follow the majority. That's what the Torah says.
So it really make it clear in what situation or the specifics of what it's talking
about. Okay, let's take a look at the Chumash. One second. We'll get the
Chumash. The regular Chumash?
Yes. Okay, so continuing the Shiranach and Matos. So the Rashi explains the case of the Torah when persons are going up the Midbar, but talking about in the case of a capital punishment case. The case of capital punishment, you're going up the majority when it's a majority of two. Two more that obligate the guy to say he's guilty. Now let's continue in the Mincha Shchinah. And he says that when you have the two groups, and you don't have, if you don't have a majority, right? So the Mokum Shishtei Akita, see the second, so the two groups are equal and there's no majority in one. So he says, if you have two wise people that are arguing and they're equal, you have two. So if there's two, you don't have, there's no majority here to rule. So then he says, you go after the machmir, and if it's a drabbanan, you go after the one that's maker. That means if you have two rabbis and they're both equal, similar in greatness, you have no clear majority, so, and they, as they have a dispute, the two rabbis, so how did the onlooker, how did the congregants are supposed to act, or the members of the community? The members of the community are supposed to follow, if it's a biblical question, they go more stringent. If it's a dispute and a rabbinic question, they could be lenient. But he says that's only the people who are following the opinions of the rabbis. But the rabbis themselves, if they're equal to the other rabbis, two rabbis are equal, one is not greater than the other, each rabbi had the right to go according to their opinion. But there's no majority, right? Let's say the same way, according to one opinion, some say Beishamai acted like they held, because even though Beishul was the majority, because they were sharper, they felt they you don't follow Beishul in such a case. So too, if you're a rabbi, and you, even if it's in a biblical question, and you're more lenient, but there's no majority against you, you have a right to go with your opinion. Now, and then he brings in base, they forget Pashut, that he brings that this idea, that you go after the majority, that's when the groups had discussion and dialogue together, face to face. Then we go after the majority, but if they did not have the dialogue together, each person wrote his own opinion, like in many of the postcards, which addresses David's question that David asked before. You'll have a Rajba, you'll have a Ritzva, you'll have a Ran, you'll have a Rashi. He wrote his opinion. He didn't discuss it with the postcards. He didn't have a discussion with the other rabbi. Then, even if the majority agree one way, you don't have the rules going against the majority. Because it's possible if they would have had a dialogue, they would have changed their mind. The majority might have agreed to the minority.
Is this a statement from the Mishnah Parsha?
From Mishnah Parsha, correct. Now, he brings an interesting thing that has to do with Birkat HaMazon. In the Mincha Shchinah of Gimel Daled, he brings the thing the following question. He says, in all matters, in capital punishment, what applies by capital punishment, the Rambam says, applies regarding similar laws apply regarding issuing lashes, except three dayanim. That means, in order to kill somebody, you need 23 judges. order to give lashes, three judges would be sufficient. So you want to know, why is it that if you have three judges, what do we say? In order to give a guy lashes, if two say he's obligated, one say he's not obligated, he'll get lashes. 2-1. But we said when it comes to capital punishment, how much do you need?
23.
If the court has to be a court of 23, and you have to have at least two judges saying two more guilty than innocent. So the majority is a stronger, if not the ocious win by one. In order to give the guy punishment, you need a majority of two for capital punishment. And why is it by lashes?
Majority
of the question, correct. But when it comes to lashes, you only need a majority of one.
Because you'll heal from the lashes, and once someone's dead, you can't say, oh, we made a mistake.
Oh, but the question is, but since the Rambam said there is a similar, the only difference is you only get judges of three, but why is what we see they're not similar in this aspect, in the amount of people in the majority? So that's his question.
Wait,
can
you need
a judge
to give
Malvin
the
right? Right.
You only
three judges.
You only need one more saying guilty than innocent. So that's his question. So he
says, I think you can have two to one.
2-1, right. So he says like this. He says, by capital punishment, we're... The Torah said you have to have a quorum of 23, and if you have one more, say, guilt, if it's 12 to 11, it's not a decisive majority, it's a very narrow majority.
So that would be 100 years.
And right. And even if you have two more to say it's guilty, it's not a very small majority, but it's not a 66% to 30-something percent. But the Torah says that if you have two more that say guilty, he's guilty. But when the Torah says the quorum only has to be three, the total quorum has to be three, what's the 2-1, what's the percentage of guilty more than innocent? The majority, 2/3, you got 66% say guilty, 33 say innocent. On a quorum of 20, so that's a stronger in percentage, the majority, it's a much stronger percentage than having a bench of two more guilty than two more of the total 23.
Yeah, but that's just the idea that we research and sample. And we can't do all the sample because it's guilty research. It's really a small sample. So yeah, the 2 out of 3 is 2/3, but actually you're dealing with such a small group, okay. Such a small sample that you
but that's what the wanted to suggest, that type of majority in a certain way is a very 2-1, you know, if two guys to one guy, you know, it's a very strong, because if you would double it, 2-1 would make it 4-2, would make it 8-4.
You're talking about probability. Right, when you're talking about
samples,
this is about qualified judges.
It doesn't matter. There's a certain rate of numbers you pay. But when you're dealing with quantitative numbers, because this system will work, you need a certain quantity. And when you have too small, things don't work well.
But according to my logic, what I'm saying, I think it works very well. 2-1.
But I think it's quite.
I'm just saying, 2-1, we'll say 4-2. And we'll say 8-4. We'll be 16-4.
It's only 2-1.
The 16-8. 16-8 would be good enough in the court, right? That's a nice majority. 16-8 is a nice majority.
Yeah, and that's only 2-1.
Right. I'm saying that you have a nice majority here. That's all I'm saying. And he wants to say he brings this as an answer also in the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah saying,
so what's the answer?
The answer is 2-1. It's a percentage. It's stronger than having, let's say, 13-10. So therefore, 13 to 10 is good enough. 2 to 1 also would work in that percentage. Is that clear, Diamond, or not? I said 2 to 1 equals if you'll double it and double, triple it, and 4 of it, what will be? It'll be 16 to 8.
It's because these guys never studied research techniques.
But if you look at the Rabbeinu Yonah, they studied much more things than that, I will tell you. The Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. Three people that ate. If you had three people that ate, and two people ate bread, and one person had vegetables, right?
I don't understand. What's the original kasha?
The original kasha was, the Rambam says that in all matters, capital punishment and lashes are similar, except
when they judge.
But except there's one difference. The Rambam says, the Maimonides says, the difference is that when it comes to capital punishment, you need a quorum, you need a court of 23 judges in order to give out capital punishment, and in order to give lashes, you only need a court of 3. You have a court of 3, and 2 witnesses can come in and say this guy was warned and intentionally he ate pork. We'll give him lashes. But you only need a court of 3. You only need a court of 23. But in other areas, they're similar. Cases of lashes and escape.
That's what you're saying. Because when you're not 23, if we have a very, very small family, we have a skewed right. So that's consistent with what we're saying. We're saying that well, this is so conscious. In other words, he's answering the conscious in a different way. He's saying that when you have 23 people, you have a bigger number of people that you're looking at. Therefore, it's interesting to make more sense, you know, when you have a small amount of people, even 2 out of 3, 1, still you look at a small amount of people, and there's more chance of not getting correct.
There's incredible chances of that, right?
But maybe that's why it's going to be maybe that's why there is no capital punishment. You need a minimum of 23. You need 23 judges. But the point here that is that we're going to explain that the concept of 2 to 1 in percentages is a stronger percentage than 13 to 10. And we'll give
it to the question of why should it be strong, have a stronger percentage.
No, the question was it would seem that Malthus doesn't have a strong role, majority. So they have a majority of 1.
Right.
The answer is a majority of 1 is a much stronger majority than a majority of 2 out of 23. On a judge, on its quorum of 23, a majority of 2 judges.
Now, if I have a question, why should Malthus have a strong majority? Malthus is a small punishment.
Okay, if there's no other way you have a majority, let's say it's 2 to 1. You need a majority somewhere. Right, David? But he says an interesting halacha l'maaseh. Listen to this halacha l'maaseh. You find the concept. In order to say when people eat on Shabbos, and if you have a mezuzah, in order to have a demon, you say that if you have 2 people that ate bread, and 1 person ate a vegetable, right? So many hold you can have a demon. You could say a demon. Since you have 2, it's 2 to 1. Only if 2 people that washed on bread, 1 did not wash, 1 ate something else, cookie, or even if he had a vegetable, which is a lower level food, you're able to count them in as the recite of Zimut. The special brachos, the special words that are said preceding the grace, preceding the bracha samosa.
Yet when it comes to saying the word Nevarech Elokeinu Shachanu Mishalom, when we need 10 people to say the name of Hashem, if you look in the shul by Shalom Shuris, they say there are 10 people and they say there's 7 that watch. We need a majority of 7. We call that more of a decisive majority. We call it in Hebrew a Ruba Deminka, a recognizable majority, not just a very narrow majority. We need 7 to have washed and 3 to have eaten vegetables, or 3 to have eaten other things. But the question is, why is it that when it comes to reciting the demon of 3, you only need 1 more that ate bread than vegetable. 2-1 is good enough. When it comes, it's a small majority. It's a majority of how many?
One.
And when it comes to reciting the Nevarech Elokeinu Shachanu Mishalom, we need a majority of 3. We need 7 bread.
In other words, we give Malkus sooner than easier, more even than we say the same thing same verse. I mean, I'm not saying the same thing, say the same thing, say the same
thing. But let's talk about even make a demon. We say a demon of 3 with a majority of 1. 2 is bread, 1 has vegetable. We say a demon. When it comes to, if you have 4 to 6 to 4, I mean, what's the minimum majority to have had of 10? What would be the smallest majority of 10? The smallest majority of 6. I mean, 5 to 6 to 4.
I have a question about that.
Okay, but you're fine. So 6 to 4 is the smallest majority. Yeah, we say that's not good enough. You need a majority, you need a 7 to 3. The answer is, you need a recognizable majority. You need a recognizable majority. Why do you need a recognizable majority for to make a demon of 3? Why is a majority of 1 good enough? Now, first you could say, to answer this question, I would suggest, maybe you could say that when to say the name of Hashem, you need a recognizable majority. When you're not saying Elokeinu, you're just saying Nevarech Shachanu Mishalom, you won't need a recognizable majority. Maybe a majority of 1 is good enough. But there being a owner, But the owner doesn't say that answer. He said a different answer. Because the Rebbeinu Yonah said 6 to 4, 2 to 1 is greater than 6 to 4. Because 6 to 4 is not 2 to 1. 2 to 1 would be 4 to 2 would be 8 would be 8 to would be 8 to 4.
So the Hanami is a majority, a greater majority portion is greater than the majority in number.
Right. But proportionately, we don't look at the overall number. That's what's coming out of both cases. If you look at the overall number, the overall number, the majority of 1 should have been good enough, if it's called recognizable by 2 to 1, so 6 to 4, if 2 to 1 works, 6 to 4 should also do it. The answer is 2 to 1 is a decisive, it's the full majority, so it's 66%. And 6 to 4 is not 66% of the vote.
You don't mean 2 to 1.
Right, but you need more than. But it's not.
You need 2 to 1.
To make the demon, you need 2 to 1. And to recite the Shem Hashem, a majority of a total of 1 would not be sufficient. 6 to 4 would not be good enough. You have to have a larger, something which is more decisive. Because 2 to 1 is a stronger. We have 3 people here, 2. You know, there's only 1, 2 guys are going against 1, the percentage is tremendous.
The numbers aren't performing properly because of some reason, and the reason is because if you have so few, percentages don't work right when you have such small amounts of numbers.
But that's what we're not requiring. We're not requiring, because we go with the 2 to 1% the way it started, and the small numbers would come out, we need 8 to 4, right? 2 to 1, 4 to 2, but we're not requiring 8 to 4, 7 to 3. Right? We require 2 to 1, which is a right, that's one. When you have 3 people at a table and 2 of the 3 ate bread and 1 didn't eat bread, it's very clear that we have a very nice law, we have a nice contingency of people. When people eat bread, it's a very clear, decisive number that we can see clearly. Because we're dealing, the total that we're dealing with is 3. And out of the 3, 2 of the guys get bread. It's very nice. And we have a nice, strong representation of the people who eat bread. So when you have a strong representation of people who eat bread, then you can say it's demon. When you have 6 people that ate bread, 4 ate vegetables, we don't have such a strong representation of people that ate bread. Because we have 4 guys that ate vegetables. You have 6 that ate bread. But 8! If you got 6 ate bread, 4 ate vegetables, it looks like one chalice. It looks like everybody, it's not so clear.
He
was only at 7. But you have 7 guys that ate bread. Whoa! We see this is a bread feast over here. It happened to be that 3 people that ate bread vegetables. But those 3 that ate vegetables are become a little negligent, or whatever I heard it. You look at them much less, you see a very clear majority of 7 that ate bread. And therefore, to say it's Zimun, but the name Hashem, you need 7 to have washed, to eat bread. Yes, you wanted to say something.
Okay, so.
Then you can buy.
Yeah.
Okay. You got the Pesach on tape, yeah.
We say Hamotzi on one side.
Right.
Now, can you say Hamotzi on any other crackers, or crackers are always, or you only say Hamotzi on bread and crackers are always in the
dough? No, right.
So Hamotzi is the only type of cracker that can be Hamotzi.
If you go ahead and have a meal over the crackers, you would have a meal, like you'd eat a meal of crackers. So then there's room to say, some would say, that you would recite, you would wash over it because you made a meal out of it. But if you don't have a meal, if you don't have a meal over it, you would be only be fed in the donut. So there's a whole question here. He discusses what about a Gentile? We know that we have the halacha of going after the majority. What about Gentiles? So he says.
As far as using them?
So he says like this. Let's say, let's see what he says. Let's see the case he says. Let's say you have 9 stores, right? Let's say you have 9 stores selling kosher meat, right?
I don't see how you answer the original question.
Yeah.
First of all, what would it be in terms of capital punishment versus Malchus?
So capital punishment versus Malchus, he said,
the question that was on the table at the Mikras Chinuches is, why is it that the court had the right to give lashes to somebody based on a majority of one? The court, if you have two people that say he's guilty and one says that he's innocent, the court will give lashes. So how much is the total majority in number?
One.
One. So if you give capital punishment, could you give capital punishment with a majority of one?
No, that's the majority.
So that's the question. So why do
we capital punishment is longer than
total? Excellent. But the Rambam says they're similar. But you're right, but once the Rambam said they're similar, except in the quorum. The difference is in the number in the quorum. But you need, it's a 20, you only need 3 for lashes, a quorum of death of 3. And you need 23 by capital punishment. But in other areas are similar, so therefore the Minchas Chinuches asks, if that's the case, they should also be similar even in the number of people in the majority. They should also need a majority of 2. Not a majority of one.
One half, each one has one in their own class. One has a class that has 2 people, and a minimum of 22 people. That's like down the punishment. And the
2 people that have more people have to say guilty than innocent, right?
And what about by Malchus?
And Malchus, you only need
to get 5 to get 2 to get Malchus?
Yes. It was 5 against 4. Right, that's a good point. But he discusses the case of 3. 3 judges.
It's understandable that they look at their own
prior. It's understandable that you have 3 judges, 2-1, it's still a 66%.
Right.
That's how we want, but you're asking good, though. What about if you would have the, if you have 5 judges, 3-2, and so on and so forth, what would we say by the margin?
No,
right, that's a good question. So, so he says,
yes,
so you said like this, let's say there's a din of bittul.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a kisser, something that's forbidden that got mixed up with the majority, right? Let's say you have a piece of Eva Menachai that got mixed up with other limbs that were not Eva Menachai, right? So we have a rule, we say, well, right, you go after the majority, right? But say they weren't cooked together. They were dry limbs. So we go after the majority. So what would be the halacha by Ben Noach? Would we say that by a guy also? Would he say he's allowed to go after the majority? Just like a Jew, technically, if you have a piece, a limb from a kosher animal, a limb from a Eva Menachai, and you got one piece of Eva Menachai got mixed up with 2 pieces of the kosher limbs. We say you go after the majority, you're allowed to eat them. So would we say that by a Gentile also? Would he be able to eat them? Would he apply the rule of rove to a Gentile? The rule of rove is a special halacha in the Torah that was given to Jewish people. Hakim Abul Azhar. What would we say for by a Gentile? That's true. But would that play a role? But would the rule of rove apply to a guy? That's the question. Would we apply the law, the rule of rove to Gentile? Something to think about. I want to wish you a good night.
Well,